Welcome to this week's sermon from Heights Worship Center. We believe God has something for you today. We hope this message encourages and inspires you.
So this Sunday, I felt led by the Holy Spirit to talk about how to deal with anger. Now, we're deviating a bit from the Bible engagement project, our discipleship that we do as a church. So you can get in the small groups and you can get in on that teaching for this week. But I felt like for today, just in line with what's happening in our nation, there's been a lot more news and a lot more things. And I just feel like everyone seems to be angry. No matter how old you are or how young you are, no matter what your skin color is or where you're from, it just seems like there's a whole lot of anger. And I don't know about you, but I've noticed that the anger has been rising over the years. It just seems to be getting louder. And we understand how to deal with anger in a way that honors God. And so I want to get into what the Bible has to say. And this is a word to empower us in knowing how to deal with our anger, whether it's anger over what's happening in our nation, or maybe it's anger that's happening in our own lives, our relationship, at work, and different things that we're going through. We need to learn how to process anger, how to manage anger in a way that brings God glory, not in a way that causes us to sin. So I'm going to start with James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. Because with all of the increased shootings, we're seeing shootings in the schools, we're seeing more and more political shootings, we're seeing all of this thing start to happen, the riots, the protests, all of the things that are happening in our nation, we're seeing everybody begin to react in anger instead of learning how to respond. And this scripture has just been resonating in my heart. And so I wanted to open with it. In James chapter 1, verse 19 and 20, it says this: "Understand this, my dear brothers and sisters, you must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires." I just feel like that part needs to be emphasized today. Human anger does not produce the righteousness or the right things to do that God desires. We all get angry. Even Jesus got angry. The difference is he did not sin. We all experience anger, frustration. We get irritated, impatient from time to time. Human anger is an emotion that if we don't know how to manage that anger, it can lead us into sin. The truth is, anger cannot produce or accomplish or result in the standard of behavior that God expects. So as Christians, we cannot allow ourselves to react in our human anger. Whether you're having a conversation with your spouse, with your children, with your coworkers, when you're driving on the freeway. Oh, no. Now we're getting... And now, when you're standing in the longest line that you thought was short, human anger cannot produce the right standard of behavior that God desires. Human anger is not a sin, but if we don't know how to manage it, process it, deal with it, it can lead us into sin. And our goal as followers of Jesus is to live to the standard of behavior that God expects of us. We cannot just live and act like we did before we came to know Jesus. We have to change our behavior. We have to learn how to be different. So I took some time to do a little research, and I found this in the Harvard Health Journal. In psychological terms, anger is a normal emotional response to a person or situation you believe has treated you unfairly or has otherwise been hurtful or harmful. Anger is not just an emotion, it's also a physiological reaction. It's the fight or flight. It's how we respond to threats, whether real or perceived. At the root of many angry feelings is a sense of powerlessness. You know, when you feel like there's just, you can't change it. You can't change the situation. You can't change or improve it or make it better. And it can leave you feeling powerless. A traffic jam, or you lose your job. A broken relationship, a chronic illness. These are things that can have an impact on us, make us feel powerless. They can lead to frustration or sadness, disappointment or other negative emotions. And if we don't know how to deal and process through these emotions, it can lead us to anger. The Harvard Journal also says that anger can be linked to long-held feelings associated with trauma, neglect, abuse, bullying, rejection, discrimination, or other struggles that might even go back as far as our childhood. The reality is we all go through different times where we get angry. And some of us have a shorter fuse than others. Okay? Some of us, it just takes one thing. We blow up. Some of us, we might have a little longer fuse. But whatever your inclination is, we have all got to learn how to not react in the human anger that causes us to sin. Go back to your scripture, James 1, 19, and I'm going to add 21 as we read. It says, understand this, my dear brothers and sisters. So again, he's addressing believers, followers of Jesus. You must all be, read it, quick to listen. I didn't hear you. We must all be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. Now, this is hard. This requires intentionality. It means that I have to learn how to exercise self-control, to listen without interrupting. That's what it means to be quick to listen and slow to speak. It means that I'm not listening so I can respond and argue and win. I'm listening to understand your viewpoint, your story, your perspective. Even though I disagree with you and I'm ready to tell you why, I keep my mouth shut. I seek to listen. Now, the slow to anger part is important because when we get angry, science shows that when we get angry, that part of our brain that helps us be rational, it gets blocked. Do you know that anger blocks your reason? That's why learning how to manage with anger is so important. Slow to get angry, that means when I'm listening to someone and I don't like what they're saying and it's provoking me to anger, I need to check myself through the power of the Holy Spirit who gives me self-control to say, Dawn, chill out, listen. I'm just telling you what I have to tell myself. I'm giving you a glimpse into your crazy pastor's life. I say, now don't get mad, breathe deep. Listen, and sometimes I'll start formulating my own response. Oh, yeah, when they stop, I'm going to say, no, stop, listen. Listen, Don, listen. Because we are so programmed not to listen in this culture. We're programmed to respond immediately and just tell you how we feel. We react in our emotions. We react because we want to win. We want to be right. Hey, if you will apply what I'm going to teach you today, you will have greater peace in your marriage. You will have greater peace with your kids. You will be able to be a facilitator of peace in your workplace. Because I know, I lived this. I saw it when I worked at the hospital. We're going to get into this a little bit deeper, but it says you must be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So what do? You get rid of all the filth and evil in your life. You know, we always want to talk about what they need to change. Well, you need to stop doing that, and if they would only do this, and then it would get better if they would just see it my way, and they would just do it my way, and then we would be fine. He says, get rid of what's in your heart that you need to deal with. Let go of the filth in your own life, the evil in your own life, and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts. Why? It has the power to save your souls. This is not save as in salvation. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. This is about sanctification, which next week Daniel is going to preach on. It's about the transforming work of our character. It has the power to sanctify, to save your soul, to make you less like you and more like Jesus, to help you bite your tongue instead of rip a new one. Hey, we're talking about anger. It helps you to learn how to have difficult conversations in a way that bridges the gap, brings intimacy and safety instead of the silent treatment, slamming every cupboard door in the house. It's the understanding that if I deal with what's in my heart and I learn how to manage myself, if I allow the Word of God to do a work in me, because it has the power to change me, transform me from the inside out, then I will not allow anger to control me and lead me into sinful action. So here's my first point to you. Take a deep breath and shut your mouth. How do you deal with anger? Take a deep breath, practice, and shut your mouth. Okay, next time someone's talking to you and you're feeling it, take a deep breath. Shut your mouth. You got to choose to listen with the goal of understanding the other person. Do you know that that's what listening is? Listening is not just hearing the words and having it go in this ear and out the other. I feel like that's how most people today listen to each other. It's just, yeah, okay, But you're not really understanding. Listening, good listening, effective, real listening is that now I walk away with an understanding of where you're coming from. I still may not agree with you, but at least I understand where you're coming from. I might still have a different perspective, but I value you as a person because listening lets you see the person. And this is part of the problem in our culture. We don't listen, and so we don't treat each other as people anymore. We treat each other as an opportunity to win a debate. We no longer see the humanity of each other because we're so used to just going like this. Some of you need to take a deep breath and instead of shut your mouth, put your phone down and walk away. When I say keep your mouth shut, I'm not just talking about the verbal words that come out of your mouth, but I'm talking about the ones you text, type, DM, put out there for the world to see. You just need to shut it down. Some of you, for a while, if you're really, like, full of anger, stop watching news, get off social media, do a detox. Because everything right now, I'm trying to help you because right now the enemy, who is the propagator of fear and anger, is trying to get everybody mad at each other. Do you know that we are so close to civil war in this nation? And it's not over the ideology of slavery. It is over political ideologies. Jesus is king, no matter who is in office. Remember that. That we live under the kingdom of God, no matter which party you like or don't like, is in control in the moment. This is how I have peace, no matter who wins the election. Because I know who has ultimate control over my life. Amen. But the world, the enemy, the spirits of the world, the evil spirits of the world are trying to get us all angry at each other. Well, you don't think like I think, so I'm not going to be your friend anymore. We can't hang out anymore. I know people, real families, even families that are close to mine, who can't even see each other because they didn't vote the same way. And now one side doesn't want to talk to the other side. It is literally breaking up families, what the enemy is trying to do in our nation. And we have to be careful. So I'm going to give you, I'm taking this from a premarital counseling book that I use. This is what Joshua says, Joshua Straub. It says, here's the golden communication rule. In order to be understood, you must first understand. Do you know that every person just wants to be heard and understood? I think more than ever before in this culture, we just want to be known. We want to be known. We want to be seen. We want to be understood. And very few people take the time to do that today. And so if I want to be understood, I need to first seek to understand you. And so I've got to communicate differently. I've got to take time to listen instead of lecture. Hey, can I help some of you out there? Parents, spouses, friends, what if we listened instead of lectured? How much more peace would we have in our homes? How much more peace would you and I have inside? We need to get rid of, cleanse, purge, remove sin. That's why I was suggesting that some of you take a break from social media and news. Why? Because you need to get rid of all that stuff that's come in. Whatever we take through our eyes and our ears gets inside of us. So whatever you're consuming online, whatever echo chambers you're in, whatever confirmation bias you keep getting, maybe you need to get out of those places and you just need to get with God and get a reset. Because those things do get inside of us and they do affect us. You may not even realize it, but they do affect you. I'll watch enough news to know what's going on, but once I start to feel it affect me, I'm like, no more, click. Let's put on some worship music. We need to get to the root of our anger so that we can learn how to deal with it appropriately. I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verses 26 and 27. It says this, and don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. Here's the thing you need to know about anger. Anger in and of itself is not sinful. It's amoral. It's an emotion. It's a reaction to feeling threatened. It's a reaction to offense. It's a reaction, right? So having anger is not wrong. It's not sinful. Jesus had anger. There's a few instances where you see that Jesus was angry. In one particular story, it was a Sabbath day. And he looked at the Pharisees and he said, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? They refused to answer him because there was a man there with a shriveled hand. And he looked at the hardness of their heart, and it says he was angry. He was angry at the hardness of their heart, their refusal to believe God. And you know how he responded? He didn't lecture the Pharisees. He turned to the man and said, be healed. And the man was healed. He just demonstrated the power of God. I think it's so important for us to understand that when we are angry, there is a right way and there is a wrong way. And here, this is so important because it says, don't sin by letting your anger control you. So I can have anger and not sin. But if I let anger control me, watch out. I most likely then will do something sinful. Don't let the sun go down on your anger because it gives a foothold to the enemy. A foothold is a military term. This literally means that you, when you stay angry and you hold on to your anger and you feed your anger, you know how it works. I can't believe he did that, and I tried to tell him, and he just doesn't even listen, and then he just did it again, and I don't even know why I'm trying. You know how you feed your anger. Do I need to go on? We feed our anger, and then we start talking to people. We build allies. Can I tell you what he did? And we, I know, right? It's right. Yeah, you should have done it. Yeah, and we talk to everybody we know who will agree with us and stoke the anger. I'm just pulling a cover back on what we already know. And this is happening in our country. They're fomenting, breathing on the flames of fire of anger. Anger is not sinful, but when you allow it to continue to build in your heart, it gives the devil a foothold, a military term that literally means he gets inside and he destroys you from within. He bridges and breaches the wall, gets inside behind enemy lines, and gets a foothold. That means he's gotten inside of you, and now he can manipulate you. If we hold on to our anger, it gives the devil permission to mess with us. Right. Wow. Staying angry is dangerous, and it's unhealthy. People who hold on to their anger, they got high stress levels. They got high cortisone problems. Cortisol? It increases stress and tension. It leads to multiple physical and mental problems. Holding on to anger causes a lot of problems both in our minds, our hearts, and our bodies. We have to learn how to let anger go. Don't let the sun go down while you are angry. So how do you do that? Let me help you. Pray about it. Instead of mull over it, instead of think about it, pray about it. God, I'm angry. I can't believe that person would do that. Pray about it. Tell God how you feel, because a lot of us, we need a safe place to vent how we feel. And if you don't have a safe person in your life to vent how you feel, or you're afraid you're not going to vent in a good way. Hello, am I being honest? Vent to God. He can handle it. Man, read some of the Psalms. Some of those Psalms, dude, David is venting some anger. He's like, gnash their teeth, crush their heads. And I'm like, Lord, am I supposed to pray this way? But he's just venting. He's processing his anger. He's like, God, do you see what they're doing to me? It's not fair. It's not right. And he's processing his anger. I don't think he's really praying for that. I think he's just venting his anger. God, I'm so mad. I could punch somebody. You could tell God that. And then process with him. Now, what do I mean by this? When you process your anger, you're asking the Holy Spirit to search your heart and show you what you need to do. Remember? So, human anger does not produce the righteousness God desires. So, get rid of the filth and evil in your life. Humbly accept the word. So, when I process with the Holy Spirit, I'm asking him to help show me if I need to do something, if I need to ask for forgiveness. If I need to choose to walk in humility, if I need to choose to exercise self-control, I'm asking the Lord, how do you want me to process this? Show me maybe from their perspective. Give me your view on what's happening, because my view is limited. I might think I'm right, but Jesus knows if I'm wrong. And so processing is a willingness to ask the Holy Spirit to give you understanding into why you're angry and what you should do. And then you pray and process until you get peace. This is so important. You don't have to stay angry. Even if your anger is justified, you don't have to stay angry. You can exchange your anger for the peace of God. That doesn't mean that you condone what happened. It doesn't mean that you just accept what happened. But it means I'm not going to operate from a place of anger. I've given my anger to God. I've received his peace and his plan. And I'm going to operate from a place of peace. And I'm going to execute the plan. So I'm going to say that again. So how do you not stay angry? Pray, process, till you get peace, and then know the plan of God. How you should operate. Sometimes this means you humble yourself and ask for forgiveness. Sometimes this means you go the extra mile. Sometimes this means that you have to just do what you don't want to do because it's the plan of God. So release your anger, pray about it, process it, receive his peace, and then get his plan. How to deal with the injustice, how to deal with the threat, how to deal with maybe the powerlessness that you feel. Psychology Today says that anger leads us to act before we think. And when under the influence, the activity in our brains change. This is Psychology Today. Anger inhibits the activity in the thinking part of the brain. You cannot think rationally when you're angry. So maybe this is why God says, be slow to anger. Because the moment we allow the anger to come in, it affects our rationale, our thinking part of our brain. The chemistry changes, and we're no longer rational. That's why I say, I couldn't help it. I was so mad. You know how we say things like that? Ah, I was so mad. I couldn't help myself. Because anger changes the way you think. This is why we need to let anger go. We need to process it, give it to God. We need to learn how to walk in peace and not anger so that we don't allow ourselves to stop thinking and act irrationally. So this leads me to my question. So what do you do? Let's keep in Ephesians 4 and let's go to verses 31 and 32. Get rid of, there you go, you see it again in James 1. Ephesians, get rid of all, say all, not some, not what you feel justified about, not what you want to hold on to. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, talking bad about someone, calling them names. We are so bad at that in America. Shame on us. I don't agree with you, I start calling you names. I don't listen to people who call other people names. That is not what God wants from us. As well as all types of evil behavior. Get rid of. There is a responsibility that we cleanse our heart in the presence of God and release to Him bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander and evil behavior. We cannot just live in anger, act from anger, because it does not. It prevents us from doing what is actually what God wants us. Because look what He says. Instead, everybody say, instead. Read it. Be kind to each other, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. It doesn't matter if they deserve it. You didn't deserve it, and God forgave you in Christ. So He commands us to forgive as well. So how do we deal with anger? We need to get to the root of it. All the sources that feed my anger, and I need to let it go. I need to pray, process, get peace, get God's plan. I need to stop feeding my anger. Hey, I've been known to do this. I'm mad about something. I'm worked up about something. I know who to call who will agree with me. And I would tell myself now, don't do it. Call them. They won't agree with you. Get a different viewpoint. Don't build allies just to justify your anger. Here's the remedy. Kindness. Oprah did not create kindness. Random acts of kindness might have been her slogan, but God is the one who commands us to be kind. What if when we are approached and somebody's yelling at us, instead of acting in kind, we act in kindness? Tenderhearted means that my heart is clean. It's not hard. You know what hardens your heart? Well, disbelief. But you know what else hardens your heart? Offense. And it says here that we have to keep our heart clean. That means if you've offended me, I must forgive and not let it affect the way I see you. This is possible with the help of the Holy Spirit. It's not something you and I can do on our own. Can I be honest? It's not something that we can do on our own, but with the help of the Holy Spirit, we can let bitterness go. We can choose kindness. We can keep a soft heart towards God and the other person. We can forgive. Forgiveness is not condoning behavior. Forgiveness is not excusing behavior. Forgiveness is saying, God, I'm going to let you deal with it for me. Because unforgiveness is like drinking poison, hoping it hurts the other person. It will only affect you. They don't care. They probably don't even know you're mad at them. But it affects you. And we have seen example after example after example over the past decade in America of how that anger has poisoned somebody, and that poison leads them to do something completely horrendous and evil. To the point where people who know whoever the shooters are say, I never saw it coming. That person didn't seem like they were capable of doing it. Well, they probably weren't until they held on to bitterness and anger. Because here's what it says in Hebrews. I'm going to skip ahead just a little bit. Hebrews 12:15, it says, look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. Watch out that no poisonous root of bitterness grows up to trouble you, corrupting many. So the Bible warns, if we allow bitterness to grow, it becomes poisonous root. And it doesn't just stay small, it grows up. And not only does it grow up, it troubles you and it affects other people. It affects your marriage, your household, your relationships. It affects the way you treat your coworkers. It affects how you deal with problems in your life. It can affect society. Bitterness is poisonous. And we have got to learn how to let it go and let the Holy Spirit do a work in us. Now I included the first half of this verse. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God, because bitterness is a problem. That means you and I need to stay accountable with each other. If you're really having a hard time to let go of an offense, to let go of a situation, you're dealing with anger, talk to one of us to let us help you. How to process, how to pray, to help you get to the root of what's causing those emotions and those angers, so that we can help you, pray with you, and get you to a place of freedom. Don't stay angry alone. If you can't work through it on your own, come to me. Come to Pastor and Rose. Come to some of the leaders of this church. We are here to help you. So in Ephesians, it says, forgive as God has forgiven you. And so it's so important that we show kindness, we keep our heart clean, free from bitterness, unforgiveness, and we forgive. In verse 29, same chapter, Ephesians 4, verse 29, it says this: don't use foul or abusive language. Here we go again. Watch your mouth. Anger causes us to say things we regret. How many of us have had to go back to someone after an argument where we said things that we wish we didn't say and we were sorry for? Everyone in this room, come on. We've all been guilty of saying something in our anger that we couldn't take back, but we really wish we hadn't have said in the first place. That's why the Bible says, be slow to speak and slow to anger. Because I don't know about you, I would rather get it right the first time so I don't have to go later with my tail between my legs. I'm so sorry. I said things I shouldn't have said. Because even though you say you're sorry, sometimes the damage is still done. And it takes time to rebuild the trust and to restore what was broken. So here he says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful. Come on, everybody say, everything. This is what we do with the help of the Holy Spirit. We learn how to let every word, whether we text it, yeah, post it, declare it with our mouth, everything we say be good and helpful so that it is an encouragement. So I've said it before and I will say it again. Pause and pray before you post. You don't need to put your opinion out there all the time for the world to see. Maybe the best thing you can do is just say nothing at all. If it's not going to encourage, if it's not going to build people up, if it's not going to be helpful, if it won't point people to Jesus, then maybe you should just keep it to yourself. Everything we say should be good and helpful and an encouragement. Can I tell you, self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. I saw an interview with Charlie Kirk, and they were asking him, how do you deal when people come up to the microphone? Because he always encouraged, if you had a different opinion than me, come forward. You get to talk first. If you disagree with me, come first. And some of the people would come up to him and call him names and yell at him, and he just stayed so calm. He never yelled at them back. He never engaged in that kind of rhetoric or name calling. He said, why don't you tell me your story? And he would always listen. And in this interview, they were asking him how he did that, and he said, well, I think that the fruit of the Spirit is self-control, and it's the Holy Spirit who helps me with self-control. The same Holy Spirit lives in you and me. We can have self-control. I can't help it. I'm so mad. Yeah, exactly. Out of the Spirit and into anger. Stay in the Spirit. Watch what you say. Watch your words. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, the Passion says this: respond gently when you are confronted, and you'll diffuse the rage of another. Respond gently when confronted, and you'll diffuse the rage of another. Responding with sharp, cutting words will only make it worse. Don't you know that being angry can ruin the testimony of even the wisest of men? Respond gently Don't respond with sharp, cutting words. Well, you idiot, you just don't know what you're talking about. Why are you so stubborn all the time? What if instead we learned how to respond with gentleness? Don't ruin your testimony because you have not learned how to deal with your anger in a righteous way. Proverbs 29:11 says, you can recognize fools by the way they give full vent to their rage and let their words fly. But the wise, come on, any wisdom in the house? But the wise bite their tongues and hold back all they could say. The Bible says, you want to give full vent? You just want to say what you say? Who cares who it hurts? Who cares what anybody thinks? But you said what you say? The Bible calls you a fool. Wisdom means I bite my tongue and I don't say everything I could say, even though I want to say it. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 8. I know it's quiet in the house today because this is just, you know, one of them words, but I know that as you apply it, it's going to set you free. It's going to help you. More peace in your marriage, more peace with your kids, more peace in your workplace. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 through 10 in the NIV, it says this, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these. You notice the Bible keeps repeating itself. When the Bible repeats itself, it's because God himself knows you and I need to hear it over and over and over again. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these. Notice how similar the list is. Anger, rage, malice, slander, filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other. Since you have taken off your old self with its practices, and you put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. We're doing water baptism after church today. And this is what water baptism is. When I go under the water, I have died to my old self, my old way of thinking, of acting, of reacting. And when I come up, I am now a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new is come. And now I'm being made, I'm renewed, I'm being changed by knowing my God more. That's what it means, being renewed in knowledge in the image of his creator. The more I look like him, the more I sound like him. The more I talk like him, the more I act like him, the more I respond like Christ. Because we no longer live the old way, now we live the new way. We just can't harbor in our hearts rage and malice. We can't hold on to anger and slander. We got to watch what we say. So here's the remedy. Change your default. Get renewed. See, you and I all have our own default setting, and it's really created by how we grew up. How did our family model anger and conflict resolution? How did our families communicate with each other? How did we get trained up? You believe it or not, most of us, that's the default setting we grow up with as adults. We model whatever we witnessed as we grew up. Some of it might be good, and some of it might not. But now I have Christ to teach me the better way. Come on, everybody say, there's a better way. There's a better way. There is a healthy way to deal with anger. There is a healthy way to resolve conflict. There is a healthy way to live in disagreement. How? Know God. Know God. This is not in the slides, but do I want to do it now or later? I'll end with it. Let's keep going. In Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I bring you a lot of scripture because that way you can't just say, I don't agree with Don. That's fine. Because I'm just bringing you what the Bible says. Now it's between you and the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 12, I'm going to read verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Don't curse them. Pray that God will bless them. Ooh-wee. We could just sit on that all day long. Because that's a mouthful. Can we say easier said than done? Bless those who persecute you, make life hard for you, give you a hard time. Come on, we've worked with those people. We've gone to school with some of them, live in our own household. Hey! The Bible says you don't respond the same way. You don't curse them. You pray that God will bless them. Why? Because as you're praying for them, God is working on you. Here is the one way. This is such a healthy way of dealing with anger when you pray for them. That God will bless them. That God will protect them. That God will minister to them. God, give them a promotion. Pray for them. Them. Pray that God will bless them, because as you're praying, God is changing you. This is what I call operating in the opposite spirit. Because the spirit coming at you is a provocative spirit. It's a provoking spirit. But I'm choosing to operate in the Holy Spirit. One that operates in peace. In reconciliation. Let's keep going in verse 17. Never pay back evil with more evil. God, this is my prayer for America today. That the evil that we've seen, that has awakened a nation, that we will not respond with more evil. God, forgive America. Forgive us, God, for acting in our anger in a sinful way that causes more hurt, more damage, more division. God, I pray that the church in America, the body of Christ, true believers, will model what it is to not respond in evil, but to pray and bless those who come against us. It continues to say, do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Whew, that's another one that's easier said than done. Now remember, it is not by might or power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit working in us that enables us to do these things. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scriptures say, I will take revenge. This is God. I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Instead, everybody say instead. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. In other words, they're going to be like, why am I treating her like that when all she does is nice things for me? It does change people. It changes the way they see you. It changes what they think of you, and it changes your relationship with them. Here is the kicker. Don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. How do you and I respond when our nation is so angry, when we ourselves might feel anger for various reasons and what's happened in our nation over the past 5-10 years? We overcome evil by doing good. We show kindness. Jesus said, go the extra mile. If they slap you, turn the other cheek. If they take your coat, give them your shirt also. Go the extra mile. The Jesus way is a hard way, but it's the better way. God, it says, leave revenge. Leave it to the righteous anger of God. I just want to take a moment to talk about righteous anger. Because I've seen Christians abuse this concept. Well, I have righteous anger. And then instead of acting in righteousness, they perpetuate the problem. Now, righteous anger is an appropriate God-centered response to evil, sin, and injustice. Many of us felt a righteous anger with the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Because it's just wrong. Even people who are not saved feel an anger about it. They just don't realize it's a righteous anger. It's an appropriate God-centered response to evil, sin, and injustice. But this anger is motivated by love for God and love for people. That's what makes a difference. Righteous anger is directed toward constructive action against evil. Remember, our war is not against flesh and blood. It's against the enemy and his powers and forces. So we don't fight people. Your spouse is not your enemy. Hey, your kids are not your enemy. Even the people who want to be your enemies, they're not your enemy. Because for me, I know who my real enemy is. It's the devil. So I treat you with kindness. I forgive you. I walk in humility. I keep my mouth shut. Oh, but I war against the enemy by operating in the opposite spirit. You got to understand this. When we operate in the opposite spirit, we strike a blow to the devil. Because when I refuse to be provoked and I operate in peace, guess what happens? I actually diffuse the power of the enemy. Do you know that you and I can be agents of God in the age that we're living in to diffuse anger and be catalysts of peace? In your righteous anger, do not sin, because then it's not righteous anymore. If I speak truth, in love. That's not really in love. But if I speak truth in a way that is honoring, respectful, kind, gentle, even if they don't like what I have to say, I've not sinned. See, the goal is not to get everybody to agree with us. The goal is just to stand for truth in a peaceful, gentle, respectful way that diffuses the spirit that is operating in our nation. Come on, I need you to hear me out. Do not get lured by the enemy to just do what everybody else is doing. Don't respond like the world is responding. Don't react the way they're reacting. We operate in the opposite spirit, not the spirits of the world, but the Holy Spirit who is in us, with us, and upon us. So I don't respond with evil. I respond by doing good. Amen. With kind words, with the goal of peace and reconciliation. My actions need to point people to Jesus. If it doesn't point them to Jesus, then it's not me acting in a righteous way. Amen. So how do I deal with anger? I give you a list right here. Pray for them. Bless them. Don't react and repay with evil. Give up your right for revenge. Trust God to defend you. Operate in the opposite spirit. You conquer evil by doing good. So what good do you do? Speak only good words. Tell your neighbor, speak only good words. Speak good words, do good things. Yeah, we're going to say that again. Speak good words, do good things. When you feel anger rising up, take a deep breath. Maybe some of you need to go walk away. Maybe you need to let them walk away. Don't pursue them. Wait a minute, we're having a conversation. That's the difference between women and men, by the way. Maybe, wives, it's good to let your husband go and take a deep breath and then come back and have a better conversation. Operate in the opposite spirit. Forgive, be kind, pray, obey God's word, go the extra mile, do good, speak good. Give your anger to God, receive his peace, get his plan. Don't stay angry. Tell your neighbor, don't stay angry. I'm going to close in the book of Ephesians once again, chapter 2. This is not in the handout. I don't know if they have it ready to put up there or not. Oh, they do. Andrea, you're awesome. Thank you. I gave this to her during the announcement video, so that's impressive. Here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Next one. All of us used to live that way, verse 3 through 5, following the passionate desires and inclination of our sinful nature. Doesn't that describe anger pretty well? All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and the inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, our sinful nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. So guess what? God gets angry at sin. That's righteous anger. He's not angry at the sinner. He is angry at the sin. Now look what it says, verse 4. Oh, I love verse 4. But God... Come on, we were all objects of the anger of God, but God is so rich in mercy, and he loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. But God gets angry at sin, but he loves the sinner. Why do we need to learn how to deal with anger in a way that is righteous and God-honoring? Because that's who our God is. He shows anger to sin, but he shows love to many. I love how that says, we were all subject to his anger because we're all sinners. But God, he is so rich in mercy that he's just brought us in through the death of Jesus Christ. Come on, let's keep reading. Verse 8. I'm so excited. God saved you by his grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for it. It is a gift from God. Come on, worship team. Will you please come up? You can't take credit for it. For this is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. None of us can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Look, God chooses to let go of his anger because he's so rich in mercy and love that he sent his son Jesus Christ to deal with the sin problem. And I love how the Bible says this. It's a free gift. You can't earn it. Your good works will never outweigh your sinful works. The good deeds are never enough. Because he's a holy God. He's a perfect God. One sin disqualifies you, but God. Amen. We're going to have water baptism following the service today. And as we honor and celebrate those who are choosing to be baptized today, it is the recognition that God sent his son Jesus to die in our place. Jesus took on himself our punishment for sin. Jesus became the object of God's anger. Did you know that? Jesus looks up while he's on the cross. He says, my God, why have you forgotten me, forsaken me? Because when he took all of our sin and he became sin, that connection with God was broken. Now Jesus became the object of wrath because he became sin. So that those of us who are sinners can be saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. I'm going to offer today. I don't know where you stand on your faith journey. But today God wants you to know that you can be saved. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to prove yourself. You just come as you are. And we sang that today. Come just as you are. We're going to sing the Lord, I Give You My Heart. And I'm going to invite you, thank you. I'm going to invite you today to go ahead and just stand to your feet. I'm going to invite you today to examine your hearts. Maybe some of you have really been impacted by what's been happening in our world and you're dealing with your own emotions about it. Today, God wants to just set you free. He wants to come and cleanse you. As you release it to him, as you surrender it to him, he wants to come and bring you peace. He wants to come and bring healing. Maybe some of you have been dealing with anger because you've gone through some stuff in your life. And today the Lord wants to heal you. He wants to meet you where you are. He wants to get rid of those things that cause anger in your life. Today is an opportunity to come before him. But you have to be willing to let it go. To release your anger to the Lord. This is an opportunity right now for us to pray, process, and release our anger to God. Maybe you're angry at your spouse. Maybe you're angry with your kids. Maybe you're angry at your mama. Maybe you're angry at your boss, your coworker, your neighbor. Maybe you got a feud online with someone. Today is an opportunity to let it go, let it go, let it go, let it go. Maybe today you realize, wow, I don't want to live in the anger of God because of my sin. I want to receive the gift of salvation. Today I want to be forgiven. I want a new beginning. I want to receive the love of God, the mercy of God. I want to know him. I want to be saved. If that's you today and you say, you know what, I'm ready. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to surrender and receive that free gift of salvation. Will you raise your hand? This is your opportunity to receive the free gift of salvation. Repeat after me. Dear God, thank you that even though I deserve punishment, you sent Jesus, your son, to die on the cross, to take my place and take my punishment. Forgive me of my sins. I choose to believe in you. I choose to trust you. I choose to follow you. I give you my heart today. I receive that free gift of salvation.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Visit us in person or online at hwcim.org.